when we celebrate most people's lives, we mark the date of their birth and the date of their death. The Blessed Virgin Mary is an exceptional person, and so we don't only mark the date of her birth and of her death, we mark the date of her conception, the Immaculate Conception, December 8th, and the date of her entry into glory. That's today, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, two big feasts, two joyful celebrations to celebrate the two ends of Mary's life on earth, or the beginning of her life. But the end of her life is not the end of her life, it's the continuation of her life, but in glory, glorified body. Now, since this feast, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, is an entry into mystery, there are a lot of different reactions to it. People have different responses to this proclamation, this dogmatic truth that Mary is in heaven, body and soul. For those who are close to Our Lady or who have always honored her, this is a day of great joy and celebration and festivity. But for some people, it doesn't strike them as being something to rejoice about because they don't understand it at all. Of course, people who are not familiar with the Catholic tradition don't even believe it. They say it's not in the Bible. And then there's a whole range of different theological and social responses. I've shared in the past my own experience of this feast day when I was growing up, because in the United States this is a holy day of obligation and it falls in the summer vacation time. So as children we didn't like this feast very much. We had to go to Mass on a weekday. Here it is, a Monday, go to Mass again. We just went yesterday. Well, let's start with at least this acknowledgement. This feast does have a strange name. Assumption in English usually means a position that you take without a clear foundation in evidence. So I assume that the guard was asleep and that's why the thief got in. Well, that was an assumption, but it wasn't really true. So that's the danger of using this term. Assumption means something that we assume, that we think is probably true, but maybe it's not. And that doesn't apply to this feast. This is assumption in the sense of taking up. So it's the Lord taking up, raising up the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul, into glory. Assumption. Then we can take the what you might call the personal or relational approach to this. If you were Jesus and you knew that your mother reached the end of her earthly life, what would you do? Well, being almighty and reigning in glory, you would say, well, Ma, come on up. Don't just leave your body behind. Come up and reign with me. And I think anybody who knows the relationship of Jesus and Mary, or can reflect on a son who loves his mother and whose mother is the perfect response to her son, could say, well, of course, that makes perfect sense to us. Everyone does the best they can for their mother. Then we can take the scriptural approach. Now, as I say, some people say, since this isn't in the scriptures, it's not true, or it's just made up out of devotion. And that's not exactly true either, because the scriptures do indicate that God's plan for us is to reign in glory. God's plan for every human person, not just for the Blessed Virgin Mary, but for every human person, God's plan is to reign in glory. That is in the scriptures. And we have in the book of Revelation this unusual vision of a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. The scripture scholars will say this is a symbol of the church, a symbolic representation of the church. And sure, that's true. But remember, the author of the book of Revelation is the Apostle John, and he wrote this book late in his life. Most people say in maybe around the year 90 AD. So in other words, after Mary was already assumed into heaven. So certainly John already knew, if he wasn't there when Mary was assumed, he certainly knew the tradition that Mary had been taken up to heaven. And he would have had that in mind when he wrote this. That's why I think it's legitimate to apply this vision of the woman clothed with the sun to the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is clothed with the sun. She does reign in heaven, and she did give birth to a son, a male child destined to rule all the nations with an iron rod. She is the mother of the Savior. And that's what this reading refers to. It also says here that the woman is in contest with a huge red dragon, symbol of Satan, and also of every force that opposes the kingdom of God. So the contest between the woman and the dragon represents the whole spiritual battle, but it especially represents the Blessed Virgin Mary and Satan. Who wins? The Blessed Virgin Mary wins. The woman in heaven wins. So it's in the scriptures that the humble, weak, helpless woman is victorious over the huge red dragon. She is given a place prepared by God. Well, today we celebrate that place, heaven. A loud voice in heaven said, "Now have salvation and power come, and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his anointed one." How does Mary, an ordinary woman, although sinless, but still a human person, how does she get the privilege of being taken up to heaven? By the authority of the king, by the authority of the anointed one, Jesus Christ. So Mary didn't do this on her own. She didn't have that power. No one does. But because there was no obstacle to her being taken up into heaven, her son said, "Yes, it's fitting for this woman, my mother, this immaculate virgin mother, to be taken up to the highest place in heaven." So that's a scriptural argument. You can see also in the second reading, which we took today, this is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. St. Paul, talks about the plan of God for the defeat of sin and death and for the victory of Christ in the resurrection. Just as in Adam all die, that's the human condition, so too in Christ shall all be brought to life. That's the new human condition. In Adam all die. In the new Adam all live. Anyone baptized into Christ who accepts the gift of salvation lives and lives forever. But each one in proper order. Christ the first fruits, and then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Well, who belongs to Christ? His mother, first of all. So she's given this first place. So I'm just pointing out, it's not so unscriptural a feast as some people accuse. Mary herself, in the famous hymn, the Magnificat, which is in today's gospel, says the way God works, the way God works, and he has done this throughout history, as Mary is reflecting on the revelation throughout the Old Testament, the way God works is to cast down the lofty and raise up the lowly, to put down the proud, to leave the rich empty-handed, to lift up the poor, the humble, the lowly, and seat them in high places. And this is exactly what she sings about. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. Well, who is the lowliest? The Blessed Virgin Mary. Who is the most dependent on God? The Blessed Virgin Mary. Who is the most open to the plan of God being fulfilled? The Blessed Virgin Mary. So if God's style is always to lift up the lowly, who is the one who benefits from that the most? The Blessed Virgin Mary. See how this feast day really does flow from what's revealed in the scriptures. The church has been reflecting on this and celebrating it for many, many centuries, but it was only in 1950 that the church came to definitive certainty about this, the assumption. And that's when the Pope, I think it was Pius XII, made it a formal declaration, this is what we believe, and this is what we celebrate. Now there's one last reflection I'd like to add on this feast day. This assumption of Mary into heaven, this defeat of sin and death, this final defeat of sin and death bestowed on Mary is also an indication of God's plan for all of us. This feast is not only about the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's about the woman and all her children. So in some ways, we're celebrating our own future. Now, it's true, we won't be assumed when we die, or when we get to the end of our life, we won't be assumed like Mary. But at the end of time, when Christ the King comes to reign and our bodies are raised up, the resurrection of the body, we will reign in glory, just as the Blessed Virgin Mary does, body and soul. That's part of our faith. That's part of the glorious, hope-filled proclamation of the gospel. So, yes, we celebrate the Blessed Virgin Mary today. But as our hearts and minds are raised up to heaven, we are also filled with hope of joining her. Not only our souls, body and soul, because that's the plan of God for us. The glorification, the resurrection of the body. So we ask Mary to show us the way, to pray for us that we can rejoice today and rejoice in hope of that future victory.